Welcome to the Activation Podcast, brought to you by the Conscious Resistance Network. I'm your host, Derek Brose, and every episode of the Activation Podcast is going to explore solutions that I've written about and that I've talked about through my 10 years as a journalist and an activist, and we're also going to talk with interesting guests who are bringing you the most cutting-edge solutions in the areas of health, permaculture, technology, community organizing, and anything else that we could come across. Thank you for being here with me. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to the first episode of the Activation Podcast. So I'm really excited about this, guys, because if you haven't heard me talk about this already, I'll give you a little bit of background on why I'm launching this, what it's going to be all about, and then we're just going to dive right into the first episode, which is called What is the Conscious Agora? So first of all, my name is Derek Brose. I'm going to assume most of you found my work, know my work. If not, you can visit derekbrose.com if you want to get my whole bio and learn more about me. But essentially, I'm a journalist, I'm an activist, I'm a filmmaker. And recently, I was involved with putting together the event, The Greater Reset Activation, which you can find at thegreaterreset.org. I also run the Conscious Resistance Network at theconsciousresistance.com. And I've been doing reporting and activism for about a decade now, just over a decade. And the short story is that I'm just sick of talking about the daily, weekly news. I had a podcast previously to this called The Conscious Resistance Live, which I've been doing for about 7 or 8 years, and I think I did some great, important work there. But more than ever, in this time of COVID-19 and authoritarianism and just confusion and political division, I think it's more important than ever to focus on solutions. So that's what we're going to be doing in this podcast. Every other Wednesday, I'll be dropping a new podcast. There's going to be a video version that some of you are watching right now. And there's also an audio version that's available through Pinecast and on Spotify at The Conscious Resistance. And in video format, you can find it on Odyssey, Minds, Float, Hive, all of the Conscious Resistance channels. But we'll also be launching the Activation Podcast, its own channels coming soon. So stay tuned to that. But we'll be doing this every other Wednesday. Sometimes it'll just be me exploring various ideas, looking at different pieces of information, all focused on solutions, all focused on what you can do practically and tangibly in your lives to achieve change. And this was, again, all inspired by the Greater Reset Activation, where we, for 6 days, brought people together from all around the world talking about how to use technology to free ourselves, how to grow our own food, how to take care of our health and education, how to get out of the economic system, how to get closer to nature, just a wide range of solutions. And I recognized that there are so many people who are just primed and ready to talk about solutions all over the world. So it felt like, you know what, let's stop talking about the news every week. I'll still do reports when it's important, but let's bring together the solutions and let's highlight the individuals that are working on powerful solutions. And this will give me another place as well to share some of the information that I've found, that I've discovered and shared through my talks over the years and shared through my books over the years. So I'm excited, guys. This is brand new beginning, and I think it's going to be something that's going to be good. It's going to be different than anything I've done before, and I hope we get to reach a lot of new people. So let's get started. The first episode of the Activation Podcast is again titled, What is the Conscious Agora? And for those of you who are watching, I'm going to show you on screen a little bit about this, and I will include, of course, in every episode of this podcast, we will include the links to the relevant material related to what I'm covering here. So this idea of what I call the Conscious Agora, it first came from my third book, Manifesto of the Free Humans, which you can download for free at theconsciousresistance.com under the Books tab. You can go visit the page for Manifesto of the Free Humans, and there is a downloadable PDF. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. Everything we're going to cover today comes from that book. And I first wrote this information in 2016, published it in 2017, and it's been 4 years now, and this idea has grown and matured in my mind and now has left my mind and entered the real world and has become a real world project that I'm working on. So let's start there. What is the Conscious Agora? What do I mean by this concept, and where do these words come from? First of all, most simple, conscious is clearly, I'm going to imagine most of you are conscious right now. You are living, you are awake, and that's a state that all human beings share, right? But beyond that, being conscious, being one that is awake or sometimes woke or questioning or whatever terms you want to use, is meant to signify somebody who is pursuing a higher level of thinking, somebody who is aiming to be the best version of themselves, to work on their traumas, to work on their doubts and work on their fears and to pursue healing in all its regards, somebody that is trying to empower the world, empower themselves, and I guess a simple way to say it is to raise their vibration, to raise their frequency. It's another way to put it. So that's conscious. And when I talk about agora, or agora, it comes from the Greek word agora for marketplace. And specifically, this is coming from the philosophy of agorism, agorism, and counter-economics, which we are definitely going to cover in the coming episode. Probably on the third episode, we'll get deeper into that. For now, let me just say it's something I've written about and talked about for years. The idea is that we can exit from these systems financially, you know, through the food production system, through the education system, all these various systems, we can exit from them and build something better. That's the shortest way to explain agorism. And it's been something that has inspired me and my work and my writing over the years. So again, we'll talk about that in future episodes, but for now, that's basically all you need to know. So you put that together, the conscious pursuit of expansion, of growth, of healing, together with pursuing this agora, this agora, this marketplace, this place where people can voluntarily exchange and voluntarily associate and build together and create a beautiful world. So it's basically my personal spin on agorism and taking it out of just the purely economic, kind of political, anarchist sense and applying it to spirituality, because that's what my work, The Conscious Resistance, is all about, bringing together the spiritual message with the sovereignty message, the anarchist message, the voluntarist message. So the conscious agora was my idea of what would it look like if we started to build these free agoras, as it was first described by Samuel Konkin, the founder of agorism. What would those look like? And not only what would they look like in the terms of, okay, we're creating our new currency, we're growing our own food, but what would it look like to create a agora that was also concerned about spiritual expansion, spiritual growth and healing? And that's what led me to create the conscious agoras. So on screen right now, for those who are watching, I'm showing some of the text from the book Manifesto of the Free Humans. And again, I will include a PDF that I put together that has everything you need to know about the conscious agora, including this pyramid that I'm going to show you in just a moment. So I'll read to you. We're going to read through some of the book here so you can get a deeper understanding, because this was, again, what I wrote in 2016. And it's really beautiful to see how it's coming to life now. And I think that what I'm realizing is that while I'm in Mexico trying to create a conscious agora, and I'm now working with a group of people, I'm going to tell you all about that in just a bit, I also realize that conscious agoras, this concept, is more of an umbrella, kind of decentralized idea that you can create conscious agoras, and we're in Mexico, different parts of Mexico, or in the US, or in Europe, or in Australia, or in India, or wherever you're at. It's about, can you sort of aim for or align with these principles here that we're about to explore? So let me read to you just a bit. The goal of this final part of this book, Manifesto of the Free Humans, pertains to our specific preferences for a conscious agora existing in a stateless society. And what I mean by that is my goal in the long term, generationally, I believe that we can evolve past the need for governments and can create a more free, decentralized, spontaneously organized world. It is important to remember that we do not believe in one-size-fits-all models and are not attempting to state that every free, conscious agora should organize in the fashion described in the following pages. Now, I want to emphasize that again. Not attempting to state that every free, conscious agora, so somebody who aligns with his idea, that you guys should organize in the exact same fashion that we describe in this book, or even in the fashion that my conscious agora project is working on that I'll tell you about in just a few. Obviously, our subjective preferences are contained in these books, but we see our ideal intentional community as existing among the myriad of diverse, unique communities that will exist in a truly freed marketplace of ideas. So I think that's important, is that there's going to be all kinds of different communities organizing together. And that's really the whole idea of anarchism and of agorism for people who don't have a real understanding of what that means. It's not violence. It's not chaos. It's voluntary association. It's recognizing that people have different visions, but instead of using violence to try to convince each other or electing governments to try to force each other, we should learn to cooperate. And when we can't cooperate, disassociate, but you know, allow people to live freely as they choose, so long as they're not violating certain norms. So that's what we're going to get into. We encourage the readers to take our words and review them and compare them to your own values and principles. Do our ideas measure up to your vision? If not, please take what you can learn from our efforts and adapt it to your community's specific needs. We believe in freedom, and thus we believe in diversity. Our vision of an intentional community will be one among the many coexisting communities, microstates, communes, neighborhoods, and other yet-to-be-discovered ways of self-organizing. The actual formation of such a community is slated to begin in early 2020, and that has begun in the last year. We will spend the next 4 years building towards this goal via the Freedom Cell movement. While the political system continues to disappoint the masses, Freedom Cells and Agorism offer a bright future. So again, both Freedom Cells and Agorism are things that I'm going to discuss in detail in coming episodes. If you want to learn more about Freedom Cells right now, you can either download this book and learn more about it or visit freedomcells.org. But what I was putting there is basically from 2016 to 2020, I've been trying to propagate these ideas of Freedom Cells, decentralized, localized organizing, opting out of the systems, and in the hopes of building a movement that could go towards these ideas. And I think on that front, myself and many other people have been quite successful. And I'm going to include the image for those who are just listening to the podcast, because even though you can't see what I'm reading, it's very important for you to see this image that I'm about to show on screen. The next three chapters explain the points of unity for this coming intentional community. And what I'm showing here on screen is what I've called the pyramid of liberation, the triangle of liberation, whatever you want to call it. But it's a three-sided pyramid. And each corner represents one of the main three principles that I consider to be the basis for the conscious agora, right? So beyond these three principles, people will apply other things to it. They might say, hey, you know what, we want to form a community that's all vegan, or we want to form a community that also includes, you know, everybody's meditating daily together, or whatever it may be specifically. But these are the kind of like what I call and what I've heard them termed as the points of unity. So these are three points of unity that if everybody who wants to come under this conscious agora label or this umbrella and be a part of this movement that we're building, whether you're going to build in Peru or, you know, UK or wherever, these are the three main points. Beyond this, like if you can't agree on these three points, I think it would be difficult to say that you are kind of aligned with the conscious agora idea. So the top most important point is the sovereignty of the individual. And then we go down to the bottom right, left, and we have permagora, which is a bringing together of permaculture, which is, of course, living, trying to grow your food and create food systems and living life ways that are in harmony with the planet as opposed to being destructive, and bringing that concept into the agorist idea of opting out of systems and kind of not needing permits and licenses and stuff and just doing what's necessary. So you have the sovereignty of the individual at the top, you have permagora on the bottom left, and in the bottom right you have mindfulness. And obviously mindfulness is a pretty big, broad term, but this to me again goes back to that whole idea of individuals who are conscious, people who are, you know, interested in meditation maybe, or interested in prayer, or just interested in nonviolent communication, working together as a group to kind of, again, continuously improve yourself. That's to me what I'm seeking, and the people that I want to work with, I think, are those types of people who are constantly seeking to grow, to keep learning, and just keep humbling themselves to become a better human being. And because building and living in community can be difficult, right? We don't want to just live amongst each other like in a neighborhood in some plastic, you know, suburb already existing in the US or something. That's at least not what I'm interested in. I want to be a part of a community. I also want my privacy. I also want my space. But I do want to live amongst other people and collaborate and build and be there for each other in different ways. So when combined with a counter-economic strategy, these principles lead to the realization of the conscious agora. And you can see here on the, for those who are looking on the screen, you can see sovereignty of the individual on the top, permagora on the bottom left, mindfulness on the bottom right, and then you put that together with counter-economics and agorism, and all arrows point to the center, which is the conscious agora. So the following three chapters, I'm not going to read. I don't want to just spend the whole podcast kind of just reading this for you, but I will give you a brief outline. And again, the PDF for this, which comes from my book, Manifesto of the Free Humans, is going to be included in the podcast. Just look at the description below, wherever you're watching, and you can see the PDF, download this PDF, read through this information yourself. And yeah, I also do believe that in the coming weeks, probably months and year, we are going to put up a Conscious Agora website that kind of puts all this information together, as well as highlights what I'm building in Mexico and what the people I'm trying to work with, and anybody else who thinks that they want to sort of come under this umbrella. Maybe eventually the idea of the Conscious Agora network or community, kind of just whatever community network, is that we can share ideas, share resources, and maybe even visit each other's. It would be a part of the larger Freedom Cell network, but this would be now, okay, you're building Freedom Cells, you're connecting with people on a local level, but now you want to actually start building conscious communities, so now you're a part of the Conscious Agora network. That's sort of where I see this going in the long run. So sovereignty of the individual, what does that mean? When imagining our ideal community, there are several considerations to make. As we have discussed, there is a vast spectrum of opinions regarding property, the environment, immigration, and the organizational structure that society should take. No matter the agenda item, our first question is always, does the action impede upon another free person's right to live free from coercion and violence? And of course, those who are in favor of animal equality or animal protection, they could also expand this question to ask, do my actions prevent any life, human and non-human, from living free of coercion and violence? So however you start, though, the point is that our goal is the reduction of violence and oppression in our regular everyday lives. This is the foundational principle for the establishment of a conscious agora, to reduce violence and oppression and coercion in our lives. So trying to live with other people who don't want to call the cops on each other, who don't want to use violence against each other, whose first mode of action is not to go towards being violent, but to communicate, to dialogue, to try to work through things. And this principle is also known as the sovereignty of the individual, and it was first expounded in the 1840s by a man named Josiah Warren. And again, I discussed this in depth in my book. I described these communities that Josiah Warren created in the United States, in Ohio and Indiana and in upstate New York. And he created these successful communities that grew to include hundreds of families, and they had a printing plant, they had a carriage factory, furniture factory. Every house is described as having a garden where people to basically be free as they to live as they please, because again, their main guiding principle was the sovereignty of the individual. So at a time when people who were getting divorced or people who were homosexual or transgendered or just different things like that were really shunned, like out of society, like a woman who was divorcee was not, you know, allowed in polite, respectable society, but she could go to Josiah Warren's community and be accepted. Same thing. There was a big free love movement at the time. So there was people who thought that maybe you didn't need to marry, or that divorce was becoming okay, or maybe, you know, you were promiscuous or you poly or whatever it may be. The point is these people were sort of outside of the main, but in this community, they were accepted. And there was no, Josiah Warren didn't force the people to say, hey, you have to live exactly by the principles I believe in. But he did hold classes. He did have a shop there on the property. And, you know, if people wanted to learn more, they were, of course, welcome to. But ultimately, the whole idea was that residents reported that conflicts were handled by isolating or refusing to do business with those who chose to violate the sovereignty of the individuals. So if somebody started acting violent towards somebody or creating trouble, people basically, they would try to communicate them, but they would also eventually isolate them or eventually excommunicate them, just say, like, we're not doing business with you. But it was reported that his communities had no police, no courts, jails, and not even a single recorded crime. Does that mean it was perfect and that everybody got along? I would doubt so, but the point is that they found ways to get along and to cooperate. So this idea of the sovereignty of the individual, and I think it relates to a kind of more modern term of the non-aggression principle, which essentially says that you own yourself, self-ownership, you own yourself, you own your body, and it's wrong, immoral, unethical, it should be illegal to use force, violence, or coercion on another person to try to force them to act or live the way you want. I can communicate with you. I can talk with you in dialogue. We can have heated discussion and debate and try to come to an agreement or decide to go our own separate ways. But the point is, it's wrong to initiate violence on that person. The only time violence would be acceptable is in defense of oneself, one's property. So if somebody is aggressing upon you. Beyond that, though, we are cultivating a community that is nonviolent, that does respect the sovereignty of the other individuals involved, that does respect the ideas of non-aggression. So that is the kind of foundational point of the whole community. And then from there, when you start to apply that in different ways, you can see how it works, right? To me, I start applying the ideas of sovereignty of the individual or non-aggression principle even to the earth, even to the planet. Like, how do we get our resources from the planet? Are we just mining the planet and just being extractive and destructive? Or are we trying to find ways that we can work with the natural systems where we can actually, instead of being destructive and maybe destroying various ecosystems, we can actually figure out how to work with people. We can work with the wildlife, work with the plant life, work with the insect life. And that's the basis of permaculture and how we view our relationships with the animals and the planet and think about how we're going to grow our food, but not just how we're going to grow our food, how we're going to harvest our energy, all these sorts of things. And so that's kind of the basis of permaculture. And to me, it fits perfectly in with what we're doing here. So let me read from you here. It says, when imagining our ideal community, we do not envision a place where the land is exploited, polluted, and stripped of the finite resources located within the earth. We have no intention of living in a community where the earth is viewed as an object to dominate, a means to an end, or a backdrop to our consumerist lifestyles. Refusing to initiate violence in our relationships should extend to all of our relationships, including the relationship with this planet. These realizations led us to the next corner of this triangle, permagora, or sustainability, which I think is a little too plain and simple, and also lots of people are, you know, afraid of the word sustainability because of United Nations World Economic Forum propaganda. I don't think we should. I think we should still recognize that that word does have meaning, but true sustainability, not state-driven, top-down, centralized sustainability, this fake stuff they sell with the Great Reset. We wish to create an intentional community that honors the sovereignty of every individual to be free to make their own choices, provided they harm no other. In our community, this would extend to our philosophy on the environment. This means that any permanent resident or visitor to this community would be voluntarily choosing to live in harmony with the environment and the community at large. We are not interested in forcing other free humans outside of our community to live as we choose in this ideal intentional community. So that's one thing is like, I don't have a vision for creating like, let's take over the world and force everybody to live like us. No, let's set an example for those who want to live differently than the mainstream world and then see who decides to take these ideas and make them their own and adapt them to their own needs and resources. Instead, we hope to live as an example of what is possible when conscious individuals choose to change their own behavior without the needs for threats from the state or other forms of coercion. And then I kind of go in there to describe like my friend Rob Greenfield and some other people. We get a little deeper into permaculture. And I right here, I read some of the 12 basic principles of permaculture from David Holmgren's book, Permaculture Principles and Pathways Beyond Sustainability. And I'll just read some of these principles and you can kind of glean what you will for them. Of course, permaculture is a massive topic. We're going to definitely do some episodes just looking at permaculture, talking to permaculture teachers and experts. But for now, I think this gives you a kind of a brief overview of it. So here's the principles, the 12 principles as described by David Holmgren, who is one of the founders of permaculture. Observe and interact. Catch and store energy. Obtain a yield. Apply self-regulation and accept feedback. Use and value renewable sources and services. Produce no waste. Design from patterns to details. Integrate rather than segregate. Use small and slow solutions. Use and value diversity. Use edges and value the marginal. And creatively use and respond to change. So again, I will link put a link to David Holmgren's book if for those who want to look more into permaculture principles and pathways beyond sustainability. But the way I see it is that permaculture is a less forceful, more mindful approach to living off the land. And agorism is a less forceful, more mindful approach to economics and to exchange. And instead of violently overthrowing the government or playing the political game, we exit from their system. We build something better. And we know that people will come. If we build it, they will come. So the way I see it and what I wrote here was that the coming conscious agora will benefit from an alliance of freedom cells practicing permagora, and we hope to lead the way. So this is kind of the merging of the agorist, anarchist, voluntarist freedom cells movement with the permaculture movement. I think that's really what we're seeing now is people recognize the need to get organized. Now, in our final part here on the piece of the triangle of liberation is the concept of mindfulness. And mindfulness, of course, could be described as mindful awareness or simply awareness. And this represents the reality that we must apply a sense of heightened awareness, a constantly self-aware state of mind, to every one of our actions if we are going to continue the spiritual evolution of our species, which I do believe we are a part of and we are witnessing. I don't know that it's just going to happen, you know, without us trying, but I do believe that the efforts we're putting in are continuing to move the movement down further, you know, further down the line so that we can reach future generations. And throughout my book series, me and my co-author stress that achieving peace and freedom is a task that requires more than just knowledge or logic. Compassion and communication skills are also essential if one is attempting to create positive change in the world. And so we talk about the importance of being able to communicate and not use violence. And just for those who might need a refresher, this section I think is really important too. The term, the conscious resistance, was born out of an awareness that the world is in a state of imbalance due to the influence of a small group of elitists working to use the state and corporate power to live off the fruits of the rest of the world. It was also born from my individual realization that those who wish to control and manipulate others do so because they're in pain themselves. And that pain is absorbed by the population and then turned into fear and anger. And what I mean by that is that these people who at the top, the predator class, I do believe that they're dealing with trauma and pain, and they inflict that on the world through their various, you know, schemes. And some the people in the population, it's like we're absorbing that and then we're reflecting it back to each other, and there's more fear and more anxiety. This results in states of anxiety and disharmony, which allows for the continued manipulation by these same elite, at the hands of these same elite. And our ambition is to lead the way by being open and vulnerable about our struggles and triumphs. This means incorporating meditation, positive affirmations, visualization, and other practices into our message of anarchism. And because of this desire to focus on healing and interpersonal relationship, the conscious resistance, I've more recently been referring to it as holistic anarchism or holistic activism. And this essay goes further into describing what exactly that means. I'll probably talk about that in a future episode, but I don't want to read this for you. I really would encourage you to read it for yourself. But essentially, again, it's about trying to be a more conscious person, look holistically, not just that, hey, I want to change the world, so let's try to change the economic system or the political system. But how are you living in your own interpersonal life? Are you treating people healthy? Are you treating yourself healthy? Are you eating healthy? Where's your food coming from? What systems are you supporting with the food that you buy, the food that you eat, the money that you use, the money that you make, the places you make it, how you spend it? All of these things, when you're looking holistically, are equally important. We can't hope to really change the world by only fighting the system and by only exiting. We can exit the system and build communities, but if we're still dealing with our own trauma and we're not working and healing our insecurities and our doubts and fears, then I worry, friends, that we're going to create the same thing again. We will repeat the mistakes of the past. So for me to create this new evolution, these conscious agoras, it absolutely is going to require some deeper healing and looking deeper into ourselves. So this is one of the last parts of this chapter here, and I want to share this with you. The evolution of consciousness is absolutely necessary for true, lasting freedom to be achieved. We boldly stand by our positions and arguments made in this series, but the reality is that none of the solutions that we have presented will succeed if the broken and confused people of this world refuse to do the necessary internal work for individual healing to transpire. The insecurities, doubts, and fears will differ person to person, so a holistic self-assessment is needed to decipher where to begin your healing process. If we want to heal the deeper root causes which allow violence to be perpetuated among our species, we must be willing to face ourselves. If we fail to recognize healing and personal growth as a vital part of the fight for a more free, ethical world, I believe we are setting ourselves up for failure. Our only hope is in creating a free society based on mutual aid, voluntary association, and individual sovereignty, is to embark upon a path of mindfulness, reflection, forgiveness, acceptance, healing, empowerment, and finally, self-actualization. These seven steps are the path towards the conscious resistance. And that is where that chapter, those three chapters end. But that's it, guys. That's the concept of the conscious agora. It is sovereignty of the individual, self-ownership, non-aggression principle. It is permaculture. It is living in balance and harmony with the planet. It is mindfulness, meditation, nonviolent communication, healthy just communication and dialogue as an individual, community. I mean, it's about finding the things that fulfill you and help you and build you up rather than break you down, and doing those things together as a community. Those are the things that I know that I'm personally interested in doing, and the community that I'm trying to build, that's what we're aiming for. So let's talk about that. I've explained now briefly what agorism is and freedom cells, and now we've talked about what is the conscious agora and the principles that outline that triangle of liberation I was showing you. So now let's talk about the conscious agora that I'm creating. Hold that thought. Guys, before we go any further, I want to tell you a little bit about a project that I recently launched called the Holistic Self-Assessment Online Course. Now, some of you know that I released this book, The Holistic Self-Assessment, in April 2018. And essentially, this book is the culmination of the experiences I had when I went to prison, dealing with addiction, dealing with depression, and suicide attempts. This is the process that I took myself through to get to know who I am, to get to know my principles, to get to align my relationships, my words, my thoughts, and actions with those principles. Overall, it's meant to be a self-empowerment, self-help guide that can help you start accomplishing your goals by aligning your principles with your actions. The book is available to download for free, and I'll include that link below, But if you're interested, I did recently launch a new online course, which you can find on the University of Reason, aka Autonomy. I partnered with them recently, and they created this whole online course for me. It's 9 weeks long. You can watch and follow along and read the book as I go through each chapter. I read it with you, and I offer some tips and some exercises. There are two different options. You can either do DIY, where you just go through the 9 week course yourself, or if you want to have personal one-on-one sessions with me, there's also an option for that. So check that out, guys. I'll include both links below. Let's get back to the podcast. Some of you know that I moved to Mexico last March. It's been about a year now, and I've been living mostly in Morelia, Michoacán, and exploring different parts of the country. And myself and my partner Miriam, we came out here. We realized that we wanted to get land in Mexico because, as I said, I started talking about this idea in 2016. And over time, I realized, you know what, I don't know if I feel safe doing this in the United States. I was planning on doing it in Texas. But as things progressively got the way they are and then COVID happened, it just seemed less safe and reliable for me to invest money and time and energy, not to mention the higher cost to try to acquire land in the United States. So I started looking towards Mexico because we've been coming to Mexico for the last 5 years and we really love it. My partner has family out here and we just, there's so many great things. And I'm going to do future episodes talking about Mexico, how to get to Mexico, the benefits of Mexico, all that. I know lots of you have questions on that. But the point is, we came here to Mexico. We've been exploring different parts. We've been exploring around Michoacán and the mountains and the hills and the waters. And it's a really beautiful area. And we haven't quite decided where we're going to, you know, where the land that we're going to buy is at, but we're looking in different places. What I started to do, though, last April, I believe, when we decided we were going to come here and, like, let's move to Mexico, let's start looking for land, I opened up the floodgates and I put out my email and said, hey, if you're interested in this idea of the Conscious Agora and you want to hear more about our land project, please email us. And we got about 300 to 400 emails from people all around the world. We went through them, we responded to everybody, and sent out essentially describing this Conscious Agora. Here's the principles we want to live by, as well as some of the more specific details to our community. You know, we want to live in a community that definitely believes in the right to defend yourself against intruders. We want to live in a community that is definitely focused on being off-grid. We want to live in a community that is, you know, I'm vegan personally. It's not going to be an all-vegan community, but respecting animals is definitely a big part of it. We want to have an animal sanctuary and animal rescue, in addition to the sovereignty of the individual, permaculture, mindfulness. So that's the vision of the Conscious Agora that me and Miriam were putting out. And so we had all these people reach out. We sent out our information. We got a bunch of responses. And we've just had this process starting last April and then throughout the summer where we put everybody on a spreadsheet and started to see, okay, we had people answer questions like, where are you at right now? What's your timeline? How quick are you trying to move? What is the vision of the community you want to live in? I know a lot of people think about living in intentional communities, but how many of you have actually stopped and thought, like, does that mean you want to live in the same house as other people? Do you want to live on the same piece of land? Do you want to live on a piece of land next to them? Like, what does that actually look like? And so we described our vision, me and Miriam, we shared our vision to the people who reached out. Some of them, most of them responded and then shared their vision and answered. We put that all in a spreadsheet and then started to look and see, who seems like a good fit for what we're trying to build here? Who seems like an ideal match? Not just somebody who's going to come in and put money in and not be a part of the community, but people who are really wanting to build something new. And we also want to be able to host eventually in the long term, like have a community center to host workshops, to host skill shares, music festivals, you know, various types of retreat. We have a big vision in the long term. But of course, the first step is to get the land and to take care of ourselves, start getting ourselves off grid and learning more. And designing our lives the way we want to. So we put out the call last year and we've basically filtered it down to 50 people and then down to 30 people. And so we have about 29, 30 people within our group that we are working. We meet regularly. We have regular calls every other week and communicate with these folks. Some of them have moved to Mexico, to Morelia, where we're at, and we've got to know and meet them in person. Others we've met and visited with in different parts of Mexico, and some are still in the United States or Canada or other parts of the world and are trying to decide what their next moves are. But it really has been a beautiful experience because we're starting to get to know some of these people. Like, I do think that these people, some of them I can call friends now. I do feel closer to them. I know them on a more personal basis than just communicating with email. And some of that will come later. But it's been a wonderful process. And this project, I will say, I guess I should emphasize, is closed. Like, we're not currently taking anybody else for this project. There might be an opportunity down the line for more people to come on board. Because what we're essentially doing at the moment is trying to narrow down and find our, you know, core group of people. We've been taking some inspiration and some advice from the book Creating a Life Together. I'll put that book in the description of the video as well. Creating a Life Together, that is just this Bible for intentional community organizing that goes over so many different aspects that you might really not think about as you're trying to put a community together. And who's going to be that founding core group of people? Is it going to be one person, a couple, a group of people? How does that land get distributed? And so right now we're just narrowing that down while we're also kind of on the ongoing land search. By the time you guys are hearing this, in a couple of days after this is released, I'll be going to look at some land here in Michoacán. We'll be checking out with some of our Conscious Agora members who are coming to Mexico. And that's basically where we're at. We're just ongoing, having this dialogue, getting to know each other, getting to hear what each other's goals are. We're also organizing. We're using various tools. Like right now, we've been checking out Quire. That's Quire.io. And using that as like a project management tool, we're experimenting with that. And it's a lot of different moving pieces. And this is one of the things that I learned, me and Miriam learned in our recent permaculture class we took with Stephen Brooks through Ecoversity. We have become permaculture certified, and we did a group project and got to see what it's like to help somebody take their land and look at it through the lens of permaculture and design it in a way that's going to be efficient and sustainable and, again, living in harmony with the planet. So we learned a lot about permaculture. We're always learning more about healing our trauma and meditation and trying to come together as a group and incorporating those practices while also respecting that not everybody's going to want to meditate, but like, how can we figure out, how do we still connect with you? How do we still make sure that we have open dialogue and open means of communication? Maybe that means as a group, we read books like The Four Agreements or The Five Love Languages or, you know, things like that. There's ways that we can still find the opportunity to communicate so that we recognize that there's no such thing as utopia. We don't believe that we're going to create utopia. I know that that's not what I'm aiming to. I am recognizing that, yes, we are powerful, beautiful, and free human beings, but we are also flawed and traumatized and insecure and sometimes act like children. And it can be difficult even as adults to navigate this. So I want to work with and collaborate with people, and I think we have a group of people who also feel this way, who are trying to rise to that occasion and to heal themselves and to work through their things and to figure out, how do we really work through the difficult times to build something beautiful and be here to support each other? And that's what the Conscious Agora is about, guys. I mean, that's pretty much, I think, as much as I can say about it at the moment. Like I said, the project is not open to accepting more people at the moment. As we get land, as we find that maybe that we will welcome people in, but we've talked about dividing the property up and having lots, and if people who align with the values we're promoting and they're willing to be a part of that, maybe they can come on board. But also, I imagine that once we get this going, my idea is to build a model that then can be replicated all over the world. I've learned a lot in 10 years of being involved in community organizing and activism and festival organizing and you know, just music and venues and all these different types of community organizing, living in community spaces and houses. And I think that those lessons can now be applied to building community on land. And I'm sure I'm going to gain more knowledge and lessons and wisdom through that experience. And then we can take that information and say, hey, look, here's how you create a conscious agora in your area. And we can really start to see this network of free, beautiful communities just flourish all around the world. That's at least my goal. So thank you guys for listening. This is, of course, the inaugural episode of the Activation Podcast. And again, I want to remind you, this was inspired by the Greater Reset Activation. If you haven't heard of the Greater Reset, but you found this podcast and you found it interesting, check out thegreaterreset.org. We are doing another event May 25th through the 28th online and in Mexico. I'll be telling you guys more about that in the coming months as it gets closer. But that event is what inspired me to start refocusing my energy on solutions, not just talking about the news and the latest scary thing, you know, in the headlines, but what are we going to do? How are we going to empower ourselves mentally, physically, spiritually? So in the coming months, you can expect on this podcast talk about technology, about permaculture, spirituality and healing, psychology, and so many other ideas. You guys gave me a big wealth of ideas and suggestions of guests, and I'm always willing to hear more about that. If you want to reach out to me, you can reach out at breakfree, that's breakfree@ctemplar.com, breakfree@ctemplar.com. Of course, I'll put that in the info below. If you have questions, comments, or you want to share ideas about guests or topics, feel free to reach out to me. And this podcast will appear every other Wednesday on all the platforms the Conscious Resistance is on, and everywhere else you can find it, Spotify, Pinecast, Odyssey, Float, Minds. I didn't say Facebook, I didn't say YouTube, But I'm hoping we can get some of those people to check out these new platforms and find us there. Anyways, guys, thanks so much for being here. Look forward to talking with you on episode 2 of the Activation Podcast. We will be talking about Web3 projects. What is the Web3? What does that look like? And is it going to be more safe? Is it going to be more secure? We're going to talk with my buddy Mike Swiatek about that in 2 weeks. So thank you guys for being here. Until next time, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Peace.